Today we're going to go back to the book of Philippians, where we started a few weeks ago. We'll be looking at chapter 3, verses 1 through 11. So just turn there and look it up in your Bibles, or it's on the screen in front of you. I'll read that in just a few minutes. So this book of Philippians was written by Paul, and it was written to the believers in Philippi. Now, Philippi, I mentioned to you before, was a town, a Roman town, that was full of retired soldiers. Colonels, generals, everybody wanted to retire to Philippi. It was a great place to live, and evidently they had a beach and all those things, and so they could get out there and do whatever the retired soldiers did. There were Romans there, and keep these things in mind, because this is important as we go through this book. Just keep it all in mind for the future. Romans, there were Greeks, and there were a smattering of Jewish people in that city of Philippi. A small Jewish population. And Paul went there on his second missionary journey. And the Roman people practiced emperor worship. They thought that their emperor was a king. He was a divine figure. The Greeks worshiped Zeus, and they worshiped Artemis, and they worshiped Dionysus, and they were two gods up in the outer zone. And the Jewish people, a few of them, worshiped along the river. There was no synagogue. I want to mention also that the Greeks believed in divination. How many know about divination? They believed in talking to dead spirits and dead people and all those things, fortune telling. Remember the slave girl in Acts chapter 16 that was telling fortunes, and Paul came in and people were mad because she wasn't telling fortunes anymore, and she found Christ. Lydia was at Philippi. If you're going to have a synagogue in any town in that time, you had to have 10 men to form a synagogue. So evidently, they didn't have 10 Jewish men to form a synagogue. Well, when I talk about this, I have to intersperse something. Now I'm going to move out a little bit. Can you hear me when I come down here? Good. If you can't, listen harder. And if you were in prayer meeting, you heard about this. My friend Mike, the retired, I have to tell this story. My friend Mike, the retired truck driver, who retired just a few weeks ago, sold his truck and now sits out by the dam watching them build the bridge over the river Kwai, whatever it is, over the river. And so Mike was out there, and along in pulls a car, and out hops four people. That's all right. And they were Jewish people, and he knew they were Jewish because they had the curls on the side of their, the guy had the curls and a black hat. 5-year-old kid, 9-year-old kid. And the mother went and sat under the, in the pavilion, and the dad took those little kids out into the middle of the creek, or the creek, wherever you come from, took them out in the middle of the creek, and they sat down in the water on a rock. Then dad took those kids And this guy thought, is he going to kill these kids? Plunged him under the water. Up, got the other kid, plunged him under the water, then took his hands and put water on the heads of these kids, and they sat in the middle of the creek. He said it was like for 40 minutes. He said, what was that all about? I said, I don't know, but I'm going to find out. And it's called a mikvah. And the Jewish people in all around were celebrating the Passover the same time we celebrated Easter. And these kids had to be cleansed before Passover in a creek. Sounds like baptism, doesn't it? Boom, up. And they sat there. Then they went and sat with Mom. And he said, I think they were praying. Probably were. In Philippi, they didn't have enough people for a synagogue. Didn't have 10 men. And I'm sure they practiced that, because if you go to Leviticus chapter 15, 16, 17, you read all those laws that are so strange to us. But to think that they stopped along the way, and we don't have too many Jewish people in town, and found that creek, and there they were in the middle of that. Think how cold that. Did you ever swim up at the dam? Oh, it's cold. Here, this happened right in our community. It's a good story. It's a great story to tell. I'll probably tell it two more times this week at least. Politically, the people in Philippi, all this is good background for what's coming. Were Roman. Religiously, they were mostly pagan. Spiritually, there were many religious philosophies in that city. And they were minimally Jewish. So always remember that Acts chapter 16 goes along with the incidents in Philippi. We learned about Lydia. We learned about the jailer who was converted, and the girl who was telling fortunes. But let me remind you of a few things that we've looked at so far in our study. Philippians 1:6, listen carefully. These are reasons that Paul gives to rejoice. Philippians 1:6. Being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. God will finish what he started in your life. That's a promise. He will finish what he started in your life. And the second thing or reason to be filled with joy or to rejoice is found in 1:12. But I want you to know, brethren, that the things which happened to me have actually all turned out for the furtherance of the gospel, so that it has become evident to the whole palace guard and to all the rest that my chains are in Christ. God will use our chains, things that are in our lives, for his divine purpose. We don't lead charmed lives, but those instances and those things in our lives which are hard and difficult, God will use those for his divine purpose. Amen? Amen. We know it. We know it. We've experienced it. The third thing to rejoice about is found in verse 21 of chapter 1. Paul says, for to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. That's self-explanatory. When we die, we go to heaven as believers. But we live in Christ. And we get more comfortable with that thought as we get older. Ruth there is not thinking about that. She's going to hang on to her life as long as she can, and we all do. We want to hang on. But as we get older, you know, I got a lot of silver-haired people here. You know how it is. We get more comfortable with that thought. It's nothing to fear. It's something that we like. But what I don't want you to do is to be texting and driving. Now you get the sign down there, okay. Honk if you love Jesus. I put the honk up there and the cars were, I didn't even get the rest up. They were honking as they went by, and I just waved my hand as I put the sign up. The next one is found, the next reason to rejoice is found in chapter 2, verses 2 through 5. Fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem each other, others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interest, but also for the interests of others. Get involved with people. Don't try to run from people. Get involved. Don't try to avoid them. As believers, well, there's Gloria back there. She does that. Gloria gets involved. I like that. I didn't see her. She snuck in the back row. Get involved with people. Amen, Gloria?
Amen.
Amen. She does. Unity comes through humility. Humility comes through following the example of Jesus. And then the fifth thing that we have seen is found in 2 verses 14 and 16. Do all things without murmuring and disputing. Here we have a good one. That you may become blameless and harmless, children of God without fault, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast the word of life, so that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain or labored in vain. Our witness impacts the world. You're the hope of the world. I say that a couple times. I look out at you and I say, oh boy, you're the hope of the world. Because we have him. Now we'll look at the scripture for the day. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. For me to write the same things to you is not tedious, but for you it is safe. Beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the mutilation, for we are the circumcision who worship God in the Spirit, rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh. Though I also might have confidence in the flesh, if anyone else thinks he may have confidence in the flesh, I more so, circumcised the eighth day, of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, concerning the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, concerning the righteous, which is in the law, blameless. For what things were gained to me, those I have counted loss for Christ. Yet indeed, I also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ. Shall we pray? Father, open our eyes and hearts to this good word before us. We thank you for the written word that is a light to our paths. The living word, Jesus Christ, who ever intercedes for us, seated at your right hand, we give great thanks for him. For the Holy Spirit who guides us believers into the truth and dwells in us to give us the direction for us to be sensitive to others who need to hear the message of God, of the good news. We pray for others, for our family members, for our friends, for our acquaintances, those that need to hear the word, those that are in difficult situations. I pray, Lord, that you will make us instruments of your love, sharing the good news with them. I ask this in Christ's name. Amen. Now, in our scripture, back to verse 1, we'll be going back and forth there. And in some translations, it says, furthermore. You know, if a preacher says, furthermore, that means that he's probably got part of his sermon in, and it'll be a while before he finishes. Furthermore, rejoice, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. For me to write the same things to you is not tedious, but for you it is safe. He's saying, I'm writing things to you. I'm telling you this again. I'm repeating this because it's an important thing for us to see. It's not tedious. The problem in the church at Philippi, though it was a wonderful group of people, is this name Judaizers. 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 They were creating a theological error in the church. And isn't it interesting that Paul says in verse 2, look at that, beware of dogs. How many of you people like dogs? Raise your hand if you like dogs. We got a lot of dog lovers here. But I'm telling you, you weren't going to have a dog named Fido or Fufu or some little sweet name back in the first century. These dogs were scavengers. These dogs were wild, running around. You had to watch your kids so they didn't drag them off and try to kill the kids and eat them. And Paul says, beware of dogs. And we know that the Jews use that name for Gentiles. The Muslims use that name for Gentiles in our day, dogs. And Paul says there are false teachers out there. They may look religious, but are spiritually unclean and dangerous, leading others astray. So you got to watch out for dogs. In our day, the same deal. Beware of those that want to lead us astray, that want to step in and say, I've got a better idea, something that hasn't come from the Lord. And then Paul says, secondly, beware of evil workers. Beware of dogs, beware of evil workers. People who appeared to be doing God's work, but were just distorting the gospel. These are Judaizers. They taught that faith in Christ is not enough. They were workers, but their work is harmful to the cause of Christ. And then beware of the mutilation. Oh boy, here we, I'm glad there's no kids in here. There were people that came to know Christ that said, if you're going to be a Christian, you Roman men have to be circumcised. You've got to be circumcised. You have to have that symbol in your body if you're going to be Christians. That did not go over well. I'm sure that you must be cut for salvation. The Jewish males were all to be circumcised on the eighth day after they were born. That's when that, and medically, on the eighth day, that vitamin K goes into the child's system and they can be circumcised and not have too much of a problem. That was in the law that they would follow the Jews. And Paul said, no, 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 cut it out. Well, that's a joke, okay? All right, how can you joke about that, Pastor? No, 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 cut it out. We don't need anything else but Jesus only. Amen? Amen. That's all we need. Nothing but Jesus. They were saying you need to stay kosher, you need to have circumcision, you need to dunk your kids out in the middle of the creek in Brookville. You got to practice Jewish customs, and you can then have Christ. And we say, baloney. But Paul says, we'll get to it. It's all rubbish. We'll read it later on. Paul says, don't believe them. Don't follow what they're saying. The dogs, people who aren't truly spiritual, evil workers that add works to salvation, mutilation, relying on an external experience, an external religion without a heart change. We've got to get and see people saved. And they need a heart change, not a physical change. Imagine if I said to people when they came in, and I said to every male, you've got to go and tell your doctor you've got to be circumcised to be a Christian. How far would that go? Not too far. Paul says anything that adds to Jesus takes away from him. Anything that adds to Jesus takes away from him. We can look at cults around us. Now, in our belief, in our fourfold gospel of the Christian and Missionary Alliance, Dr. A.B. Simpson, who was a Presbyterian and left the Presbyterian Church because he didn't have freedom to share the gospel with everyone. Dr. Simpson wrote, 283 hymns. That's a lot. Today, I want us, right in the middle of my sermon, I want us to sing this hymn that he wrote. It's called Jesus Only. We haven't sung that for a while, have we? Jesus Only, Jesus Ever. It's right here before us. All you have to do is sing along with Squirrel. All right, we're going to sing it. And you can sit and sing. I'm moving down here so I can see it there. in the meantime, be praying. Here we go. Jesus only is our message, Jesus all our theme shall be. We will lift up Jesus ever, Jesus only will we see. Jesus only, Jesus ever, Jesus all in all we see. Savior, sanctifier, and healer, glorious Lord and coming King. Jesus only is our Savior, our guilt He bore away. Righteousness He gives us, our strength from day to day. Jesus only, Jesus ever, Jesus all in all we see. Savior, sanctifier, and healer, glorious Lord and coming King. Is our sanctifier, cleansing us from self and sin, and with all His Spirit's fullness, filling all our hearts within. Jesus only, Jesus ever, Jesus all in all we see. Savior, sanctifier, and healer, glorious Lord and coming King. Jesus only is our healer, our sicknesses He bore, and His risen life and fullness all His members still may share. Jesus only, Jesus ever, Jesus all in all we see. Savior, sanctifier, and healer, glorious Lord and coming King. Jesus only is our power, He is the gift of Pentecost. Jesus, breathe Thy power upon us, fill us with the Holy Ghost. Jesus only, Jesus ever, Jesus all in all we see. Savior, sanctifier, and healer, glorious Lord and coming King. Jesus, we are waiting, listening for the Advent call. But 'twill still be Jesus only, Jesus ever, all in all. Jesus only, Jesus ever, Jesus all in all we see. Savior, sanctifier, and healer, glorious Lord and coming King. I wanted us to sing that song and to see all those words to empathize the fact that Jesus is all that we need. I wanted to emphasize the fact that Jesus is all we need. We need no one else, nothing else, but Jesus only. Amen?
Amen.
And finally, or therefore, I'll move on. We only need to trust Jesus by faith. Paul wrote in Galatians chapter 1, the seventh chapter, he said to those people, you got to be aware of these false teachers and people that are trying to pull you away from this, these many Judaizers that were there in Galatia also, that it's Christ, but things added on to the theology or the life of Christ. And then Paul said in Philippians 3, 4 through 6, if we can get back up there. So here's what Paul says. Though I also might have confidence in the flesh, if anyone else thinks he may have confidence in the flesh, I more so. And I'll dive into this once we read it again. Circumcised the eighth day, of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, concerning the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, concerning the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. Paul said, if anyone, at all had the right to be a Judaizer, it's me. I was circumcised, I was a Jew, I was of the tribe of Benjamin, I was a Hebrew of Hebrews, he was a good Jew, he was taught under a teacher named Gamaliel, he was quite the guy in the Jewish community, he was a Pharisee, he persecuted the church, followed the righteousness of the law, and he was blameless, and he said, if anybody had a right to go to heaven, because I did those things, because they did those things, I had the right to go to heaven because of works of righteousness. And he said, it's all rubbish. It's all rubbish. Just get rid of it. We only need Jesus. So I gain Christ. And Paul said, if you add it all up, I had nothing when I encountered Jesus. It was nothing. Wouldn't get me to heaven where people want to go. What brings us true joy in this day and age? I miss my little Mazda Miata. You remember I had that little convertible? Oh gosh, I wish I had her back. She was so nice. It was a 5-speed. Oh, and I would get out on the interstate and put the top down. And my wife said, my hair goes everywhere. So I would go to Du Bois and put the top down and turn on my radio, singing hymns and directing music as I traveled up the interstate. People thought I was out of my mind. I loved that little car. It went off for a Ford. I traded in on it. I couldn't get up. I could get in easily. Could drop down in the seat, but then to get out was a real experience. What brings us joy? Well, it brought me joy for a while. But in the long run, when we get closer to the end of the way and in the beginning of the way, what brings us real joy? Jesus only is our message. In verses 10 and 11, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. I may know him, I may know the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, to attain the resurrection from the dead. It seems too good to be true. It's like that guy that I led to the Lord here a couple weeks ago. He's dying, and I said, pray, and he prayed, and he said, is that all there is? That's it. Jesus only. And he was in heaven the next day because he received Christ. And the important thing is, do you know him today? All you need to do is pray this way. Let's bow our heads. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your love. We thank you that you will forgive us our sins. And if we confess our sins, you're faithful and just to forgive them. That if we believe in you as the Son of God and we confess our sins, that there's forgiveness from you and from no one else. We thank you, God, for the plan of salvation. And I ask, Father, if there's anyone here that doesn't know Christ, that they might pray and say, Lord, forgive me. I believe in your Son, Jesus Christ. I'm sorry for all the sin that I have done. Forgive them. And come into my life and make me a new creation. And I will make you the Lord of my life. We thank you for the free gift of salvation. Bless us now as we sing our closing song. May God speak to our hearts. I pray and ask this in Christ's name. Amen. Now, folks, if any of you want to talk to me further about these things that I've spoken of, about finding Christ as your Savior, I'm here and I'm available after the service. You can call the church office and I'll set up an appointment. We can be 3 days if it has to be. Bring your lunch. Okay. Malia and Ruthie. I'm sorry, Ruth. You're not Ruthie.